Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
The best gift I ever gave wasn't a Christmas gift or an anniversary gift. It didn't come in a box with gift wrap. It wasn't a gift I bought in a store or something I picked out online. The best gift I ever gave was a person. Let me explain. A number of years ago, my wife was celebrating a very special milestone birthday, and I wanted to surprise her with a special gift. In all the many years we've lived in Africa, no one from her family had ever come from the USA to visit her. So I decided to buy a ticket for her only sister to come to Ghana to celebrate her birthday, and I decided to keep it a surprise. Well, it wasn't easy for me and my kids to keep this big secret from my wife. My wife is very discerning, but somehow we managed to hide it from her. I was so nervous that she might find out, but fortunately, no one told her anything. And finally, the big day arrived. My wife's sister arrived early in the morning. I sent someone to the airport to go and pick her up, and then we snuck her into the house while we served my wife breakfast in bed. Then I told her I had a surprise for her. I put a blindfold around her eyes and then led her by the hand down the stairs and into the parlor. Then I took off the blindfold and my wife saw her sister. Her mouth dropped open, her eyes got real big, and then she let out a scream. Before you know it, they were hugging and crying and laughing. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And it was the best gift I've ever given. I'll never forget that day. The best gift I ever gave didn't come in a box with gift wrap. It wasn't a gift I bought in a store, picked out online. The best gift I ever gave was a person. And so it is for all of us. If you want to give the very best gift possible to the most important person of all, then you have to give the gift of yourself. The best gift you could ever give is not something you do or something you buy. The best gift you can ever give is to give yourself to God. In fact, that's all that God wants. If you want to please God this year and give Him what He really wants, then you have to give yourself as a living sacrifice. And that's the message in our sermon today titled Pleasing God. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we want to honor you today and give you the gift that will bring glory and adoration to your holy name. So move in our hearts and teach us, change the way we think and conform us to your image, that we will follow your truth and become the people you want us to be, that we will offer our lives as a living sacrifice to you. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds and to give us the grace to obey your word. We thank you that at the end of today, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed. And we believe it in faith and we praise you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you right now to join your faith with mine. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone and happy new year. It's great to be here with you in 2021. I know that God has wonderful things in store for us this year and he's going to do something awesome in our midst today. But you see, it's only by God's mercy and grace that we've made it to 2021. And when you know that it's God's mercy and grace that has brought you into the new year, then you will be convinced that the reason we're still here is because God is not finished with us. He has a plan and a purpose to do good things in us, for us, and through us. And he has kept you alive and carried you into the new year because he wants to do something greater in your life. So if you will yield yourself to him and give God what he wants, you will experience amazing things this year. That's why I hear God calling us this year to step out in faith and receive all that he has for us. I hear God calling us to a new level of faith. I hear him inviting us to partake of a new level of anointing and a new level of power. For there is a new move of the Spirit of God available for all of us. It's a move of power and wisdom and anointing. It's a move of greater worship and devotion to God. It's a move of greater breakthroughs and success and achievements in the Lord. And it's available this year to any one of us and to all of us who heed the call to give our lives to God as a living sacrifice. But you see, you can only experience all that God has for you when you give all that you have to him. You can only experience the highest level of his presence when you lay your life down on his altar. You can only reach the heights of your destiny when you become a living sacrifice for him. That's what we read in our scripture text. It's taken today from Romans 12, 1 and 2. The word of God is on your notes and it's on your screen, but I'm going to ask all of us to read God's word out loud together today. I believe it has the most impact when his word is in our hearts and on our lips. So are you ready? Let's declare God's word with faith today. 3, 2, 1, go. Brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. Don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody shout, amen. I love these two verses from Romans 12. I think they're some of the most powerful and important verses in the Bible. For here we have a clear and direct summary of what we need in the Christian life. If you will lay hold of the truth in this passage, you'll have a clear roadmap to succeeding in your faith and accomplishing your God-given destiny. That's why I urge you to memorize these two verses and make them your guide this year. And that's why I began this year in my very first sermon of 2021 by focusing on this passage. So let's take a moment and review what God taught us last week. First of all, we learned that God's mercy motivates us. When you consider the great mercy God has shown to us, it motivates you to surrender all to God. He saved us and kept us and blessed us by his mercy. We don't deserve it, but God has showered us every day with blessings. And when you realize how much God has done for you, it's only reasonable and right that you will act on the mandate to offer yourself completely to him. You see, God requires us to lay down our lives in total surrender. We're obligated to him to give him all we have and all we are. And in light of his great mercy, our only reasonable response is to become a living sacrifice. And when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, it will manifest in your life, not just in words, but in actions. It will be evident to God and others that you belong to Jesus. When you live your life as a living sacrifice, then your life will please God. That's why the phrase pleasing him appears twice in this passage. And that brings us to today's message. If you're a living sacrifice, your life will please God. But how? And what does that mean? How can we give God what he really wants? You see, in order for any of us to please him, we have to change. Romans 12, 2 tells us that we have to change our thinking so we can know what will please God. In and of ourselves, we can't understand how to please God or give him what he wants. But when we let God plant his word in our minds, we will be able to please him. So let's start the journey to a new you in the new year by discovering three truths to help you give God what he wants in 2021. And here's your first truth today. It is possible for you to please God in 2021. Listen again to the beginning of Romans 12, 1. The Bible says, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. You see, when you offer your life as a living sacrifice, then you automatically begin to please the Lord. The act of surrender to God is what he wants. It's the first step in pleasing God and giving him what he wants. And the fact that we are commanded to do this means that it is possible. God doesn't give us commands that we cannot keep. He's made a way for us to obey him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So put your hand on your chest and say after me, I can please God in 2021. I can serve God in 2021. See, right from the time when you were born again, God expects you to change. He never expects someone to be saved and remain the same. It is impossible to be born again and not to change. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone, somebody say anyone, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. In other words, a new life demands a new lifestyle. A new kingdom demands a new conduct. Several years ago, I was invited to go to the island nation of Singapore to preach. I was excited to visit Singapore and to minister there. But I was also aware that Singapore has some very strict laws that are quite different from the laws we have here where I live in Ghana. And in Singapore, they don't play with their laws. In fact, you can go to prison and be forced to pay huge fines for breaking law in Singapore. For example, did you know that in Singapore, it has been against the law to chew ordinary chewing gum? It's illegal to import or to sell ordinary chewing gum in Singapore. And if you are caught, they can fine you $100,000 and send you to prison for chewing gum. Hey! Not only that, but there are also other odd laws. It's against the law in Singapore to spit on the ground, to litter, and to walk around in your own home in private, naked. It's also against the law in Singapore to use a public toilet and not flush it when you finish. So when I went to Singapore, I had to be very careful how I behaved. I was in a new kingdom. And when you go to a new kingdom, you have to learn new laws. You have to change your lifestyle to adapt to the new reality. I had to be very careful not to chew gum, not to spit on the ground, and to always flush the toilet. Amen. And it's the same when you enter the kingdom of God. You have to learn the new rules and adjust to the new authority. A new life demands a new lifestyle. A new kingdom demands a new conduct. The problem for many Christians is that they're trying to live in a new kingdom with their old character. They're trying to possess a new life, but they're using the old lifestyle. So they try and fail, try and fail, try and fail, and then they say, this thing is not working. But the problem is not the thing. The problem is that we need to be ready to change. We have a part to play. God promises you a new nature when you're born again, but it's up to you to put on that new nature and begin to walk in it. That's why Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Listen carefully. Put off the old, put on the new. Be renewed, learn, become. These are all action words, and all of these actions require you to do something. Too many Christians are making too many excuses. Too many of us are defeating our own efforts by speaking negative confessions over our own lives. We say, well, that's just the way I am. I'll never change. Or, my family has always been like that. It's like my mom, my dad, I'm like that. It's who we are. The fact is, with God's help, you can change. When you think about it, we all try to change things about ourselves we don't like. If you have a defect in your body, you will try to correct it. Today, for example, you can pay to have fat removed, wrinkles removed, color removed, hair removed. Wow! You can look like a different person. One of the changes that amazes me is when a woman has her eyebrows removed and then she takes a pencil and paints new ones. Hey! But if you would spend all that time and all that money to change your outward appearance, why can't you spend as much effort changing your spiritual appearance? And if man can create a new look with your body, don't you think God can create a new you in the spirit? Men go to great lengths to correct malfunctions in the body. If you have poor eyesight, you can go to the eye clinic and get eyeglasses. There's even surgery to correct bad eyesight. If you have a defective kidney, they can do surgery and replace the kidney. If you have a bad knee, they can replace the knee. If you have a bad heart, they can do a heart transplant. But too often, when it comes to spiritual change, we give up and say, that's just the way I am. I don't think I'll ever change. Why should you settle for a spiritual heart that malfunctions? Is correcting a deformed heart by a human doctor in a human hospital easier than correcting a sinful heart by a divine creator? Can't God do to your spirit what men do to the body? Can't he do it even better? For he's the God who made you. He formed you and fashioned you and breathed life into you. He knows you in and out. Nothing is too hard for him. Men change defects in their physical bodies. How much more is God capable of making changes to defects in our spiritual being? That's why he says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Your life can change. You can be changed. You can be transformed. In fact, it's not an option. Change is a requirement in order to please God. That's why Ephesians 4 says this, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Don't make excuses for the way you are. Decide today to get on the path to change and receive all that your Heavenly Father has planned for you. For we are to be changed. We are to put on our new nature. And the purpose of that change, the goal of that change, is that we will be pleasing to God. For this is why you were created. This is why you were saved. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and for your pleasure, for God's pleasure, they are and were created. Everything in life is about Jesus and pleasing him. And that brings us to our second truth today. God has a plan for you to please him in 2021. Becoming a living sacrifice is the first step, but it doesn't end there. Look at verse 2. Romans 12:2 says, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. In other words, you have to learn what will please God. You have to grow in your ability to please him. I still remember the first time I preached in the open air. It was back in 1977 in San Diego, California, in the USA. I was in the heart of the city and following the leader of our evangelism team. He told me we were going to preach on the street and I should follow him. So I did. And when we got to a very busy intersection downtown with people all around, he turned to me and said, you preach first. I was shocked. I told him I had never preached before in the open air. I told him I didn't know what to say. I told him I wasn't ready. But he just looked at me and said, go ahead. And I had to decide. Would I surrender to Jesus? Would I put aside my pride and my fear and my flesh and obey God? Would I lay my life on the altar and become a living sacrifice? Well, I got up and stood in front of all that crowd of people staring at me, and I opened my mouth, and I began to preach. I think my first sermon that day lasted about 3 minutes. That's all. No one got saved. No revival broke out. But I gave God what he wanted, and I've never looked back. And I am preaching to you today, 43 years later, because I stepped out and surrendered to God. I would not be preaching today if I had not laid my life on the altar many years ago. My preaching ministry started when I surrendered to God, but it didn't end there. I had to grow and develop. I had to study and practice to get better. I had to develop my preaching ministry. I started with surrender, but I grew with steadfast study. And that's how it is for all of us. You begin to please God when you lay your life on the altar as a living sacrifice. But it doesn't end there. Surrender is not a one-time event. You have to change and grow and develop in your surrender. You have to keep learning and keep laying down your life. You have to let God transform you from the inside out so that you can please Him. See, the fact is, our own ways of trying to please God don't work. On our own, we can't please God. On our own, we can't give Him what He wants. That's why verse 2 says, don't be like the people of the world. The people of the world don't know how to please God. And if you follow the ways of man, you won't live a life pleasing to God. You have to let God change your thinking in order to find the way to give God what He wants. You may have good intentions, and you may have good plans to serve the Lord, but on your own, you don't know what God really wants. And if you don't listen to Him and read His word, you'll end up giving God what He doesn't want. When I was a child growing up, my mother frequently cooked chicken gizzards for us to eat for dinner. I'll be honest, I did not like chicken gizzards, and I found it very difficult to eat them. In fact, I don't like them at all today. Don't invite me to your house and serve me chicken gizzards. But my dad always ate chicken gizzards. He seemed to enjoy them, and we all thought he liked them because he ate them all the time. My mother certainly thought my father liked them, so she kept cooking them for him for more than 40 years. But one day late in life, I took my dad out to a restaurant to eat, and I was surprised when we got there to see that the special of the day was chicken gizzards. So I asked my dad, "Would you like to eat chicken gizzards? After all, I know you love them." But his answer surprised me. "No," my dad answered emphatically. I was shocked. So I said, "Daddy, why don't you want to eat the chicken gizzards? You love them so much. You always eat them at home." It was then that I got a big shock. My father told me he did not like chicken gizzards and he had never liked chicken gizzards. What had happened was that once, when my parents were newly married, my mom had cooked chicken gizzards. My dad was trying to make her feel good and trying to encourage her, so he complimented her on the dinner and told her he enjoyed the meal. Well, my mother thought he really liked the chicken gizzards, so she kept cooking them for him. She kept cooking, he kept eating all through life. She cooked them because she thought he liked them, and he ate them to make her happy. But he didn't like them. I grew up eating chicken gizzards all for nothing. And that's how it is with many of us in serving God. We think we know what will please God, but we've never taken the time to ask Him or to read His word to find out what it says you can do today to please Him. Yet if your purpose in life is to please God, then you must stop and ask Him, "What do you really want, God? What do you want from me? For I don't want to get to the end of my life only to find out I spent my whole life doing things I thought would please God, but it didn't please Him at all." For all through history, man has tried to please God in his own way, but he keeps missing the mark. We see this in the very early history of man in the example of Cain, the son of Adam and Eve. In Genesis 4, 3 to 7, we read the story of how Cain, who was a farmer, presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. He came with a gift, thinking that he knew how to please God, but he never asked God what would please him. And the fact is, God didn't want his crops. So the Bible says in verse 7, the Lord did not accept Cain and his gift. We see the same thing over and over again in the example of the nation of Israel, God's own people. They thought they could please God, but they didn't do what He wanted. They offered sacrifices, but they did it with sinful hearts. They wanted to serve God in their own way, but they ignored God's ways. So in Isaiah 1, God rebukes them. Listen to His words to His own people. "What makes you think I want all your sacrifices?" says the Lord. "I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. I want no more of your pious meetings. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen." Wow. What a rebuke. All their offerings, all their prayers, all their religious activity meant nothing to God. In fact, He hated it all. And it was still the same thing in Jesus' day. Look at the example of the Pharisees. They were the most pious, the most religious, the most perfect people on earth. Yet they did not give God what he truly wanted. So in Matthew 23, Jesus said, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Everything they do is done for men to see." And sadly, the same thing is still happening today. Today, millions of Christians in many churches do the things they think will please God, but they miss the mark. Even pastors, even prophets think they're pleasing God, but they are not. They may be good at fasting or praying or giving, but they miss the mark because of wrong motives. That's why Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:1, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven." Jesus made it very plain. If you give so others will applaud you, you are not pleasing God. If you pray so that others will admire your spiritual maturity, you are not pleasing God. If you fast or preach or prophesy or do any act of service just for earthly reward, you will get off the mark. You are not pleasing God. For God does not want you running to a prayer camp, screaming in tongues while you continue to live in sexual immorality. God does not want you to pay tithe off money you made from cocaine or prostitution. And if your seed money is simply an attempt to bribe God, you are not pleasing him at all. Keep your false prophecies, your gimmicks, and your religious hypocrisy. It makes God sick. If we want to please God, we need to change our thinking. We need to be transformed so we can understand what God wants, so that we can do what he wants and please him. We need to let God change us. Don't give God what he doesn't want. Start to give him what he does want. That's why David prayed in Psalm 46 and 8. "You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen," everybody say listen, "I finally understand. My mind's been changed. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart." And what God wants is for you to do his will. What God wants is for his word to be engraved on your heart. What God wants is for you to be a living sacrifice, wholly devoted to him. He wants you to surrender to his will and ways. In fact, God gave us all an example of how we can please him. He gave us an example to follow. He gave us someone who came and lived in the flesh to show us what it means to be a living sacrifice that pleases God. And that's our third truth. The perfect example of pleasing God, Jesus. You see, on our own, we don't know how to please God, but God sent his only son, Jesus, to show us the way. He lived a perfect life that always pleased his Father. And when we live like Jesus, we too will always please our Father. That's why our text in Romans 12:2 says, "Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect. For when you know Jesus, you know what is good and pleasing to God and perfect. For Jesus is good, and Jesus is perfect, and Jesus always pleases God." That's what we learn in Matthew 3:16 to 17. The Bible says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Jesus always did what the Father wanted. In other words, Jesus always pleased the Father. John 8:29, he said, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And that's exactly what God wants from you. He wants you to always do what pleases him. God wants you to be just like Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, God chose you to be like Jesus. God wants Jesus to be duplicated and photocopied by all his children. See, in order to change, you need to know what kind of change you're supposed to make. And Romans 8:29 spells it out for us. God is not telling us to change a few things about our outward appearance. God is not asking you to be more religious. God is not asking you to try harder. God is not inviting you to become a nice person or a morally good person. He wants something much different than that. He wants you to be just like Jesus. That's how you please God. That's what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. Once, many years ago, there was a simple two-bedroom, self-contained block house sitting on a big piece of land in a prime location at the intersection of two major roads. The house had been built many years ago by a couple when they were young, and now they were quite old. When they bought the land, it was very cheap because it was outside the city, but now the city had developed and grown. Many new and big buildings had been built all around this simple house. Then one day, the news came that a new airport was going to be built very close to this junction. Overnight, the property on this blockhouse became so extravagantly expensive. It jumped in value. A wealthy businessman wanted to buy it, so he offered the old couple a huge sum of money. The couple was getting old. They wanted to move home to their village and retire. So they agreed to sell. There was only one problem. The house had fallen into a bit of disrepair. It needed to be painted and cleaned. So on the day when the wealthy businessman came to inspect the property, the couple was nervous. They thought maybe he would see the house and its disrepair and that he would back out of the deal. So when the wealthy businessman arrived, the couple rushed out to see him. They began to promise him, "Sir, we promise before you take possession, we'll fix up the house, we'll paint the walls, we'll clean out the cobwebs." But the businessman told them, "Don't bother." He was not buying the simple two-bedroom self-contained block house. He was buying the land. In fact, he told them the first thing he would do when he took possession of the property was to bulldoze the old house and put up a big, brand new hotel. So it is with God and us. When God comes to take possession of our lives, he's not asking you to fix up your old life. He's not looking for you to beautify your outward appearance. Christianity is not self-improvement. It's not about becoming a nice person. In fact, God wants to completely tear down the old life and throw it away. He wants to build a completely new life with a new spirit, for that's the only way you can become just like Jesus. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The simple building represents all your best efforts in life, and the land represents your heart. God doesn't want your best efforts. All he wants is your heart. That piece of land that he values is your heart, for it is the place where Jesus comes to dwell. And Jesus did not die so that you could become a nice person. He died so that he could reproduce himself in you. There's only one goal that is worthy of Christ's death, that you become like him. There's no other goal that is valuable enough to warrant Jesus' death. He didn't suffer and die so you could fix up your life and become a nice person. He didn't suffer and die so you could read your Bible and pray every day. He didn't pay that high of a price just to get you to come to church once or twice a month. He didn't give up his life so that you would pay your tithe or give offerings. The only thing that could be worth the sacrifice he made is if his people would be transformed and changed to become just like Jesus. That's what Paul discovered. He had all the rules and he kept them all. He was perfect in outward religion. But he discovered that something so great as the cross could only be worthwhile if it brought about God's desire that we gain Christ and become like him. Listen to his words in Philippians 3, 6 to 9. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And that's how it is for all of us today. The best gift you can ever give to the most important person in your life is to give yourself to God as a living sacrifice. For the fact is, it is possible for you to please God. And it begins when you offer your life and surrender as a living sacrifice. And God has a plan for you to please him. It's not just in doing things that you think God wants. His plan for you to please him means you have to learn and grow so you become just like Jesus. For Jesus is the perfect example to us of how to please God. He gave himself completely to do his Father's will, and he offered himself as a living sacrifice. So, how can we become just like Jesus? Well, that's the lesson we're going to learn next week. So join me again, and let's continue the journey to a new you in the new year. But for now, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, I pray you come and grip our hearts with the truth. Come and move in us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Change our ways of thinking. Lord, help everyone listening and watching today to realize it is possible for us to please you when we allow your Spirit to take control. When we offer our lives to you as a living sacrifice, you will come in and begin to change us. Help us to see the path you have for us to please you. Help us to see the perfect example you gave of Jesus, your Son, that we might follow him and become just like Jesus. Lord, don't let us spend our whole lives doing things we think you want, only to find out it wasn't what you wanted. Help us from today to begin to change, to become like Jesus. We offer our lives to you as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. The hope of
nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.